It's 11:14 here at 92.1 FM. It's time for everybody's favorite show, the Heather Nursery Gardening Corner. Now, here's the gardening expert, Dwayne Hastad, along with Paul Ramo, whose gardening knowledge stops at the produce section of the grocery store.
And on this beautiful Thursday morning, this is the Garden Show with Dwayne Hastad of Heather Floral Nursery. Good morning, Dwayne.
Hey, good morning, Paul, and good morning to everybody out there. Finally a nice day.
Yeah, no 100-mile-an-hour winds.
Oh, God. No, Madison made history, I think, with 102 and 40-mile-an-hour winds. I think it was on national news.
Yeah, that was
crazy.
But great day to be outside today, working in the lawn or the garden, right, Dwayne?
Exactly. One thing, though, from all this hot weather, I know a few people have been in and got some plant replacements. It's hot and windy like that, you got to make sure that you water. Because a lot of these plants, the only way they're getting water right now is you getting the hose out or the container out and watering them. So don't be afraid to water, especially things that are in containers. They don't have any roots to go down and get some of that moisture. So.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Water your plants when it's windy then, huh?
Well, you know, they haven't established a lot of roots yet. And so they're not out there and getting a lot of that moisture.
Okay.
So you gotta water.
Okay.
We did a little experiment here. On Sunday, we took the soil temperature on the surface of the ground. It was 97 degrees.
Wow.
We put a probe down into the ground, and 6 inches down was 74 degrees.
Oh.
So it's a little colder, I mean, cooler down there, but it's still hot for those roots. So. Don't forget to water.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to open up our phone lines once again. If you have a lawn or garden question for Dwayne, give us a call here at the radio station, 320-598-7301. That's 598-7301 if you have a lawn and garden question. So, Dwayne, what's the plant of the week?
I sent you a picture of it, and I think you posted that.
Yep.
So it's a Morton Centennial shrub rose, and I have a few of those, and I've noticed some out in people having them. They're just covered with kind of a real rich pink flower, and they have a lot of petals, and up to 40, 45 petals, and it's really cool. It has lots of flowers right now. It's blooming like crazy, and it blooms most of the summer.
Oh, it does bloom most of the summer, huh?
Yeah, Morton Centennial shrub rose. Shrub rose means that it's hardy for this area, and you don't need to cover it. We just carry shrub roses. We don't carry the hybrid tea roses anymore because people seem to have too much problems with them. They have to cover them in the winter and all that. So we carry, it's called the Parkland Series shrub rose, and this Morton Centennial is an outstanding cultivar, and it's an outstanding award winner. So,
oh.
If you're looking for a pink rose bush, I would suggest that one. And it was developed by Morton Research Station in Canada, so it's very, very hardy. So
it can stand cold temperatures then, huh?
Yep. That, like I said, the shrub roses can withstand the winters in Minnesota. So hybrid teas have a hard time here. So
okay.
I would stay with the shrub roses.
So you have plenty of those at Heather Floral Nursery, I would gather.
We got another shipment in just yesterday, so good time to talk about them.
Yeah, okay, so pick some up. Are they hard to plant, or where would you plant those, Dwayne?
They like the sun, okay, because roses don't like the shade. They won't develop very well in the shade. They like the sun. Someplace where they can get some moisture. They don't like it real, real dry, but so. And it gets big. The Morton Centennial will get 3 to 4 feet tall.
Oh, wow.
So it's a nice big shrub rose, and it really stands out. There's other, there's yellow ones, like Morton Centennial, or Morton Sunrise. And so that series is a very hardy one. Another one to plant that's not in that series, but it's called Hope for Humanity Shrub Rose. It's a bright red. It's a larger rose. And it looks like a hybrid tea rose, more of that bud tape.
Okay.
And very, very pretty. So our plant of the week is the Morton Centennial Shrub Rose.
All right. And you can see a picture of that on our Facebook page. So.
Yep.
And so what's the, I love this. You started this a couple weeks ago, Duane. So what's the UFTA plant of the week?
UFTA plant of the week is, our lawns are having a hard time with no moisture, but it seems to be some of it's green, and that's the clover in the lawn. So clover grows when it's hot, and it's kind of taking over some of the lawn. So UFTA plant of the week is the clover. It's a, clover's a, I think most people know what clover is, but it's flat. It spreads out and has the white flowers, so you got nice, pretty white flowers in your kind of brown grass right now.
So how do you get rid of it?
Well, it's a hard one. It's almost harder to get rid of that than Creeping Charlie.
Oh, really?
Same thing as Creeping Charlie is that the weed-free zone, because it has a fourth chemical in there, and that'll take care of Creeping Charlie. Oh. But if we don't get some rain and it stays hot like this, you really don't want to go spray your lawn if your lawn's under stress and it's brown. So
okay.
You have to wait to get a nice rain or water your lawn.
Okay. All right. Well, we have some questions coming in here, Duane. So this concerns lawn. And let's see if I can read her here. Our lawn started showing dead spots of various size this spring. Determined we have grub worms. They put down granular grub killer and watered it in. I see on the internet that a mixture of dish soap and water sprayed on the lawn is supposed to kill grubs. Ever hear of anyone using this, Duane?
Can I just say a one-word answer?
Yep.
No.
No, okay.
Here's my opinion on that. The way dish soap works on insects and grubs is that it has to cover the body and it stops, it cuts off the oxygen. And so you got to get a lot of dish soap down there to kill grub worms. And grub worms are a lot easier to do it in the spring when the grub isn't real big. When you get a big white C-shaped grub in the ground, it's hard to kill. But I would definitely do grub killer, which is a granular, and water it in.
Is that what makes your lawn bumpy? Grub worms?
Well, grub worms, yeah, not really.
Okay.
That's usually earthworms. Earthworms dig their holes and push that, you know, the dirt up and makes little mounds. That's what makes your lawn bumpy.
Okay.
There's nothing that says it will kill earthworms on the bottle, but grub killer will thin them out a little bit, so that'll help.
Okay. Help me out here, Duane. What exactly is a grub worm?
Grub worm is a larva form of, you see the little butterflies or little moths, and they lay an egg, then it pupates into this grub worm, which is a little worm that's white, has kind of a brown head, and then it's a C-shaped type thing. When it gets that big, it's hard to kill. If you remember Beaumont Boars?
Yep.
He had grub worms in his front yard. We went out there to treat it and reseed his lawn, and we went out there, and they had, what they do is they eat off the roots of the plant, and so the grass can't take up water, so it just dries out.
Yeah.
And we went out there, rolled his lawn up just like sod, rolled it up. It was lunchtime. We went to lunch. We came back, and it looked like it snowed. All the grub worms came to the top of the surface, and it was completely white.
Wow.
That was unreal.
Wow. So, okay.
Grub killer on your lawn, if you have spots, well, you know you have grub worms. If you see these brown patches, go to the green-brown area, grab it, grab the grass, and try to pull it up. If it comes up, there's grub worms under there. If you just dig around a little bit, you'll see that white C-shaped grub worm.
Okay. So a mixture of dish soap and water, you wouldn't advise that?
Well, they asked me if I ever heard anybody doing that.
Oh.
If you look at the extension bulletin, they'll say the way to get rid of them is to flood your lawn with water and drown them out. I don't think that one works either.
Okay. Okay.
Hey, I got a question here.
Yep.
About potatoes. A gentleman planted potatoes, And the potatoes that he cut up to plant, you know, cut them into pieces and planted those. And then he had some little ones, and he planted those potatoes too. And the ones that he hadn't cut came up, and the ones that he cut did not come up at all. They rotted in the ground.
Why that?
Planted them 3 weeks ago, so it shouldn't have been. I know that some potatoes were planted really early, and it was too cold, and they rotted. Last year, if you think about the weather, it was really wet. And where they grow most of the potatoes is up at the Red River Valley. And it was so wet that there probably was a lot of pathogens in the soil. And they were on the potatoes for seed potatoes this spring. And so when they cut the potatoes, they actually wounded the potatoes. And that pathogen got into the potatoes and probably rotted that potato. It's kind of a condition of last year, I would say. If you'd have known that right away, you could have put some sulfur, which is a fungicide, into the soil when you planted them, or dusted them with a sulfur solution. That would help it out. Or sometimes if you water your potatoes too much, it'll actually rot the potato. So you want to be a happy medium. There hasn't been a lot of moisture out there this year, but you don't want to drench or water your potatoes a lot.
Okay, good. Yeah. A lot of people plant potatoes, don't they, Dwayne?
A lot.
Yeah.
We sold a lot of potatoes this year.
Yep.
People are going to be hungry. Good. Also, you can plant sweet potatoes. It's better for us diabetics.
Right. All right. I'm going to try to shorten this question up here. Someone had called in and doesn't say what kind of plant they planted in a container, but it died. And so they replanted the same kind of plant in the same container, and it died again. So they got a bigger container and planted it again, and it's doing great. Does different size of containers make a difference?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay.
If you plant whatever plant they planted, like a petunia or something, and it has more soil around it, it doesn't dry out nearly as fast, okay? It has better root system. It can take up the moisture better. If you have a small container and you have that plant in there and you forget to water it, it dries out a lot faster and it'll die. I don't know if that was the situation, but it's a little bit more forgiving in a bigger container, and the plant will also get bigger in a bigger container. Put a little plant in a big plant in a little container, it's not going to get much bigger. If you transplant it up, which you do, if you have a perennial plant, you know, in your house or that type of thing, you should every year, or at least every other year, move it up into a 10% bigger pot, and that plant will get better, bigger, and it'll get better root system.
Okay, good. Good answer. That's yeah, that's why you're the master gardener. Hey, we're running out of time here. We'll throw one more question in here. Not sure what this is about, but what do you suggest for edging? Not sure what they're talking about on the sidewalk or what?
Edging for usually what they refer to as edging is when you do rocks around your house or mulch around your house, you usually put an edge on it. And a lot of people will use a poly edging, and then you stake it into the ground. The trick with that is you got to stake it into the ground better than a lot of people do, because it'll work its way up. You can also do a bricks. You can buy bricks and use that as an edging. And also you can pour cement. You know, they have a special machine now in which we have. It's a cement edger, and we can actually pour a cement edging for you to hold your rocks in and keep the grass out.
Okay. All right.
Hey, other things, spray your apple trees.
Spray what?
Spray your apple trees.
With what?
Well, fruit tree spray, which has an insecticide, fungicide, miticide in there. The flowers have fallen off now, forming little apples in there. If you want to protect your apples, spray your trees or put an apple maggot trap in there, and that'll indicate if there's any apple maggots in your tree. And there's coddling moths that are starting now, so it would be time to spray your apple trees.
Okay.
If you haven't already done so.
All right. Well, Dwayne, you're a wealth of information once again on The Garden Show.
Well, thank you, Paul. I appreciate doing it with you. And everybody, happy gardening. And
yep. Well, we got what's happening at Heather Nursery here? What do you got running for?
We got a lot of greenhouse stuff. We still have a good supply of stuff. People are coming in. They're probably not buying boxes and boxes like they do in the beginning. A lot of people are replacing things or finishing their projects. So we got a lot of tomato plants. And unfortunately, we're out of peppers. But we have the hill crops, the vine crops. We have a lot of those, you know, like the cucumbers and squash and type like that. So
all right.
Still people planting.
All right. Shop Heather Floral Nursery, right, Dwayne?
Yeah. Thank you, Paul. Hey. And look at Paul's website for the plant of the week.
All right. And we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Paul. Have a great day.
Yep. Dwayne Hasted with our garden show for this Thursday.
This is KLQP, Madison Dawson. News and weather up next, brought to you by your good friends at Heartland Eye Care Center in Dawson, Canby, and in Marshall.